Guys, welcome to episode 18 of Imani Talks Astrology. I really like this episode. You know, I do the intro, then I do the... I'm sorry, I do the episode, then I do the intro. Y'all know this. If you don't know this, welcome. Hey, what's up? I'm your host, Imani. Do you like the new artwork for the podcast? I don't care to hear your answer because the thing is, I like it. And that's why it's there. At the events I've been at, I've been handing it out as my ad for the podcast. So I like it. It looks pretty cool. That's going to be the image until I decide it's not the image anymore. Anyway, I really loved making this episode. It just... You know, it's been, I'm happy I've taken a break because it's been very difficult to record because, like, I don't know what to talk about because nothing has made sense. Very much so affected by the retrograde things, right? And so it's like having to figure out how all of the parts and pieces are being put together, not just for my... you guys, but for myself. And when I can't do that, it makes it very hard to be able to speak. And the flow of this was perfect. I couldn't have planned a better episode. I didn't originally plan on talking about the full moon, but hey, it's next week. It's next Friday. I talk about basically the kind of the road and the things that have paved the way for the full moon. One thing that if you follow me on Twitter, I retweeted this video that I believe Kiki, so awesome. She does palm readings really well. This video she had tweeted about the astrology for the 9th through the 15th. And it was kind of talked about as this kind of road or this kind of like critical kind of turning point, which I will kind of touch on, not explicitly, because I watched the video after I did the recording that has kind of happened during this week, but also how a lot of this is related to the lunations, the really big lunations that have happened, namely the eclipses. We do have to remember that the North Node in Cancer is answering to the moon. That being said, the moon cycles this year are incredibly potent and incredibly powerful, and are really kind of, you know, eclipses usually usher in really big monumental change. But for us, it is definitely, again, that much more powerful every time the moon comes in contact with an outer planet, every time the moon, and this is happening every month, right? You know, it's really kind of, it's like an echo for years and years to come. So every time that moon touches Chiron in Aries, you know, it's incredible, you know, what that will kind of look like for us as we are, you know, and this is not something I talk about on the podcast. Look, basically having a whole nother segment prior to the actual episode, right? But every time, you know, the moon clips over Chiron, there's like this ouch that we feel, and this really kind of big monumental kind of push towards the self. And I talk about the self and being heart-centered and operating in a way that is aligned with our highest good. I talk about that all throughout the episode. And I think the moon, again, and the moon speaks to our ancestry, it speaks to our needs. Every single time, again, that it passes over one of these outer planets, it is triggering this kind of, I don't want to say urgency, but like this kind of this need, there's that word again, that has yet to be fulfilled within our life, that we're kind of being called to do over and over and over again in various ways. And it is incredibly beautiful and it is incredibly powerful, as, again, so much of it is related to, you know, the kind of core foundational parts of who we are when we look at like the first three signs of the zodiac, right? So it's just very exciting stuff. There's lots of talk about like love and things like that. So if that bothers you, don't listen. But as I kind of mentioned at the end, and I'm sorry I didn't mention it hard enough. You know, I've been watching this. You know, if you know me, you know that I am not only talking to you as a friend, I'm also doing an astrological case study on you as I'm talking to you as well. So it's very interesting to kind of see how the lives of my friends, and again, I've mentioned this before, all of my very close friends are cardinal signs. And those are the folks that are being largely affected by these transits. Of course, they impact all of us, but also kind of think about the meanings of the cardinal directions, right? They are the stakes in the ground that kind of guide and shift all of the things around it, right? Everything is kind of centered around those four very kind of critical and important points. That being said, when something is happening to the cardinal signs, it is or in a cardinal sign, it greatly impacts the foundation of particular areas of our life. And that's what's really changing and shifting right now with lots of this stuff that's happening with the North and the South Node, what's it called? With Pluto and Saturn, and again with Chiron, and of course with this full moon cycle that is happening right now. So again, it's very exciting stuff. Please listen all the way to the end. I know it's a lot, but I have a really great and awesome announcement that has been kind of in the making for the last couple of months, and I'm extremely excited that this is the podcast episode in which I am able to talk about it, and you'll see when you listen. Still not doing personal readings in the month of April unless you had already previously booked a reading for me. And if that is the case, I am very behind and I do know that and I do apologize. And we'll get those things out as soon as possible. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoy the rest of the episode. Long time no speak. What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? It is Imani. Duh. Welcome back to another episode of Imani Talks Astrology. It's definitely been a while. It's been about, what, half a month? Maybe even a little longer than that. Let me see. The last episode I did was, can Pisces season be over already? We are literally halfway through Aries season. But hey, I did say I would be back before the end of Aries season. And so a bitch is here. Hey, what's up? You know, I am happy that I took this break. I do apologize to people I've been trying to do personal readings for. Like, I haven't been there. I haven't been able to do them. I've done a couple of events over the past few weekends. They went pretty well. But generally speaking, it's just been very difficult to, again, be able to do this work. I've been in such a transition period in my own personal life that's made it hard to kind of pick up on what that looks like for other people, even though I think I've done a pretty decent job of it, but I haven't really wanted to for a lots of reasons. We could go on and on. Again, transitions in life, imposter syndrome, if we're being honest. This Aries season has just really fucked with me. This retrograde has really fucked with me, and I feel like a lot of people feel that way. We're still not out of the shadow period. That's not until Monday. Right now, the moon is in Cancer, and we're at the first quarter moon as we're making our way up to the full moon next Friday. Wow. And it's a second full moon in Libra. What the fuck? And the first one was at 0 degrees Aries. 0 degrees, Libra, and this one is at 29 degrees, literally at the beginning and the end. This, yo, I don't fucking know what type of shit that spirit is on right now, but yo, I know that people personally feel it as well as just see it all around them. I have been in my feelings. Like, I don't think y'all understand. Like, I have a lot of Pisces in my chart, so I'm naturally just a genuinely very sensitive person. And it's all opposite my Virgo moon, right? So I'm just like, hey, you know, anal retentive. but, like, I could not take this. This has just been so much, you know, especially when we got into the final degree of that retrograde, bitch, that shit fucked me up. Like, you wouldn't even believe. Because in that moment, it's when it activated my moon as well as, like, my Pisces stellium. Sorry to make this so much about myself. I promise it won't be much longer than 15 minutes. Just would like to catch you up, right, since you listen. and maybe you will resonate with some of the things that I say. Everything, you know, people have said, again, being the person who not only does the astrology things, but, like, listens to other people and their things that they have to say about astrology, they're like, don't make any, like, everything is going to change. Everything is going to change. Everything is going to change. I'm like, bro, shut the fuck up. Like, I don't care. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Everything has changed completely. And it has me all the way fucked up. Like, you know, like, all of the things that I just thought I was super sure about, everything that I thought that I wanted. Nope, you're wrong. Actually, it's this. I've had the inkling of the things, you know, no one has came back. I've been the Mercury retrograde ghost. I am so sorry if you're listening to this, and you probably are. You know, don't tell people that you date that you have a podcast, because, or have dated that you have a podcast, because they will listen to it. Just an FYI for people. That was no shade. It was just a fact. Anyway, I've been the ghost. I ran into so many people. I know this was so long ago. You're like, why is she still talking about Mercury retrograde? Because, bitch, it's not over yet. We still have until next week. I promise I'm, like, laying the foundation for the rest of our conversation that we'll have. And, you know, oh, okay. Yeah, there we go. I will bring it together. I was just thinking how I was going to bring it together. What the fuck was I even saying? Oh my God. Yeah, but you know, I ran into so many people from my past, like, and in the most, like, positive and beautiful ways as well. You know, it has been a time, not just for me, but for all of us, given the fact that this retrograde was in Pisces, for us to all really think about cycles, especially related to childhood, because that Mercury aspect of things, all of the things that the stories, all of the stories that we once resonated with so strongly, and the way that we had really kind of painted a picture, and very much so distorted picture, of what our past was like and what those people were like. And being able to take a second look and really be able to see how all of those things are a culmination of who we are today, right? And being able to understand that. Understanding our relationship with our past, and our relationship with the parts of ourselves that seem so mysterious and so elusive, and in a way parts of ourselves that we, I keep saying parts of ourselves, I'm so sorry, that we had it wrong, or we had someone wrong, or we had something wrong, You know what I mean? And this is on a societal level as we're, you know, looking at our attitudes about one another. But again, also our attitudes about like our family and who we are and just seeing how wrong it was. And that can be a very emotional experience, right? And that is kind of what I've had to contend with in myself and really having to take a step back and really like reevaluating and looking at relationships of all types, whether it be familial friendships, romantic relationships as well, and being able to see and find the pieces that made sense and the ones that did not. And with Venus now in Pisces kind of crossing over, tracing its steps through all of the degrees that we just had this retrograde in, it's being able to take that analysis and look at it, you know, through a very, again, through the lens of our relationships. And in this way, I'm talking about romantic relationships, right? And it's very interesting because it's like, let's close out or end all of the cycles, the ideas and things that are very much so formulated around our childhood, you know, formulated around societal expectations. And this is something that I've seen in so many videos that I've watched on YouTube lately. Specifically, they were talking about like twin flames and like soulmate relationships and stuff like that. However, I feel like this is something that we can apply across the board because generally speaking, I feel like we all can kind of relate to society as well as our family and our past really kind of painting the picture and really defining the attitudes that we take on about people, whether it be racially, whether it be in gender, you know, all of the isms and all of the categories and intersections of our identity, and then being able to kind of take that very macro idea, and Venus has asked us to kind of shrink it down and really look at it through the perspective of our romantic relationships. And that will be over next week on the 20th as Venus enters Aries. Going to be interesting. And so with this moon energy, again, the moon cycles that we're looking at being Venus ruled, it's very interesting that we have to, dare I say, contend with this kind of new and fresh perspective that the Venus tracing the steps of Mercury has kind of given us and said, hey, you had it all wrong. Maybe not all wrong, but parts of it were wrong, right? So, like, what is it that you want? What is it that you really value in terms of yourself? What is it that you really value in terms of the relationships? What things are standing in the way of you being able to have that? And in many ways, there are things that are very kind of very like rigid expectations and ideas of what we have about what our love lives and our interpersonal relationships, those one-on-one relationships that Libra speaks to, right? Really being called to examine what rules that we've created that are extremely arbitrary and don't really serve a purpose anymore. Yeah. All of this, let me look. I could be wrong, but I think that we have a grand, at least a, what is it called? Ooh, girl, hold on 1 second. I'm looking at the chart. Yes, we do. We have a T-square right now with the south node, the north node. Oh, woo, y'all, I feel this. With the South Node in Capricorn with Pluto and Saturn conjunct, and the North Node in Capricorn, which is conjunct the Moon. And we are really kind of, oh wow, this is beautiful. As you know, the North Node in Cancer is answering to the Moon. So for the Moon to be in Cancer, right? And then the South Node in Capricorn is answering to Saturn. And for Saturn to be in Capricorn, and all of that energy being directed right at, my timing is just amazing. Ooh, look at me. Directed at this really big kind of pressure point towards the sun right now, the sun that is exalted in the sign Aries, right? Exalted meaning that it just works really, really well there. The sign matches the function of the planet very, very well. And so with all of this energy kind of being pushed towards us, where we're really kind of torn between this place where we are being asked to go towards what nurtures us, to go towards what feeds us, to go towards what we feel, to go towards intuition, to shy away from structure, and again, those rigid ideas that we have about relationships and how they're supposed to, what they're supposed to look like, and in some ways very limiting and kind of oppressive and controlling ideas that we have about what relationships should look like. That's that Pluto aspect that's there. And we're asked to let go of all of that. And, you know, this month has been extremely intense. You know, what's been one thing after a fucking another, you know, where we've had both Saturn and Pluto having that conjunction to the South Node, and us just being torn and, or not torn, but like really pulled deeply into this place where we're just asked to release, release, release. And it's like, how much more can you squeeze out of me right now? And it's like, all of this is again, so that we can redirect ourselves towards the place in which we're able to, we're supposed to be, which is a very heart-centered place, right? The sun is ego. But we also cannot forget that the sun rules the heart as well. And then when we are operating from a heart-centered self and we are able to redefine again what love is to look like and what it is able to kind of manifest, the way that it is able to manifest in a way that does not incorporate ego, in a way that is very, in a way, impulsive, and in a way that is very, you know, thinking is an afterthought, right? It's, I'm going into this direction because that is what I am being called to do. And as I've mentioned before, when we face the issue of the T-square, we are called to go to the opposite side, the opposite sign, which is Libra, right? And go towards Venus. And so there is nothing in Libra at this time, so we can kind of look and see what the planet Venus is doing. And the planet Venus is, of course, as I just said, exalted in the sign of Pisces. And it exalted there because the way that Pisces looks at love, it is boundless. There are no limitations. The arbitrary rules of the 3D realm or of the physical world do not apply. You know what I mean? And so in lots of ways that has us kind of doing and looking after things that just don't really make sense. You know, I see why people have been so called to do so many kind of like twin flame readings, or we see this like element of like divine masculine and divine feminine and like life partnerships and like really like serious relationships, you know, or even that idea of what that looks like for people popping up so frequently, because this energy is in the sky and because it's been, you know, in a way kind of like brewing and like escalating since the beginning of Aries season. And when you think about it, when we are to again go towards that heart-centered place, and this is not even to talk about it in terms of relationships, but in terms of being the self, in terms of operating in a way that is in accordance with your highest self, and in a way that is in accordance with what you're called to do, it would only make sense that we are being asked to strip so much of ourselves away to be able to get there,
Right. And to really kind of surrender to love, and surrender to all of the things that don't make sense, to be able to move into that direction. And, it's a lot, and it's really insane. The week of my birthday, or even the week before, like I had a discussion. Discussion is a very, I'm using that word very loosely, with a friend, and I was like, last year, in February, I had this moment in which, oh my God, it was insane, in which I was able to, and I'm gonna steer away from astrology in a bit of a way, but I promise it does make sense and does align with exactly what I was just talking about. I experienced this moment in which I was able to feel what it was like for my heart chakra to be completely open. That shit was blown the fuck open in a way that I can't even really describe what the feeling is and was, but it was extremely intense. And I have found over this last year, that I have not ever been able to get back to that place. And I've kind of, I've went back and forth in my mind of like, how can, one's heart be so open and then it just kind of close up in a and close up, right? And it seems like it's been an incremental process in which it has just become dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And there are moments in which it doesn't feel that way, but more often than not, it feels closed, right? And so, I have kind of was, in just kind of talking to her, I'm like, I don't fucking get it. Like, what am I not doing? Like, why would it my heart be open? Like, I feel like what else am I not doing? Like, what am I not doing? Like, I'm doing fucking everything. I'm trying to be fucking grateful. I'm this, I'm that. It was a very, again, ego-based kind of conversation. And she was just like, do you hear yourself right now? And I'm like, bro, whatever, on during my birthday, again, going back to that idea of like being the ghost, the Mercury retrograde ghost that pops up. It was something that I had kind of went back and forth with. Here I am exposing myself. I don't care. This is for the sake of educating people. I'd kind of went back and forth in my mind about like, ah, should I reach out to this person? Should I not? I don't think so. Yeah, I'm gonna do it anyway, And I started to feel the most intense pain of my entire life. It like my heart was hurting so bad, and it made no sense to me. It literally had came out of nowhere, this really just intense pain, and it was so sharp. It was like someone had took like a like an apple core and like stuck it through the back through my back and like ripped out my heart, and like the space that would usually have my heart is just like a space of pain, and I'm just like, oh my fucking God. And it lasted for days, and like the pain, like it was like across my back and I could feel it in my neck, and it just would not go away. It was the exact opposite of that same feeling again that I had described of like the having a very open heart, to having a very closed off, heart. And I couldn't for the life of me, understand why. It just didn't make any type of sense to me at all. And since then, it's again going back to that idea of like, with Mercury retrograde, don't make any decisions about anything. And of course, I decide that I want to make the decisions when Mercury is conjunct Neptune. So intelligent, right? For those who do not know, Neptune, of course, rules illusions, and wishful thinking, all that really just annoying Seven of Cups type shit, right? Sorry to use more metaphors that might confuse you further, but I think you get the point. Hold on one second. I'm eating pho. It's so good. Oh, shit, don't even get me started talking about pho. The real ones know who are listening. The real ones know.
9:32. Anyway, so that was very ego-based. Let me stop. So, like, I have been in this place where, you know, I've personally been kind of asked to name the things that need to disappear, and really to identify some of the paradigms and structures in my own particular life that are very limiting and that need to be drawn away. And it's very interesting because all of this came at a time where I just started a new job. I'm very happy at my new job, but it didn't feel like it was enough, you know? And it wasn't enough because there was so much more internal work that needed to be done and a recognition of things that I need to change and get rid of, on a physical level, of course, to make room for the blessings that are slowly just waiting for me to get my fucking life, right? And it, you know, it's just so, again, this pressure and this tension and this stress that is being put on the self that all of us feel intensely right now, that will continue to kind of come into question next week when we have another T-square. Oh my God, on the day of the, hold on, I'm just pulling up time passages. On the day of that full moon, yeah. And so next week, things are gonna get really intense. Taurus season starts next week. Couldn't see that kind of happening. What else? Mercury is entering Aries, so people are about to get really eggy. You know, I think all of the things and truths that we've kind of discovered, you know, you guys, that's fine. Let's try not to, like, yell them at each other. You know, let's try not to argue with people. Let's try not to get or take things really personal. You know, the thing is that I notice about Aries, speaking from personal experience, when there is a learning curve or a place in terms in which Aries comes into self-awareness, there is a defensiveness that is kind of had about the information that is kind of learned, or the things that they have understood. And it leads to that space in which they take things personally because they don't understand that people can't necessarily see or intuit, you know, the same way that they can. And it makes room to get or become very frustrated or to feel like people are trying to minimize the personal work that you do. And it's very easy to take that out on other people. I'm encouraging you not to do that. In addition to that, we also have the Venus, again, going into Aries. Very, very different energy than Venus in Pisces. As I mentioned last year in my newsletter, it's like the energy goes from like, oh my God, I love you, to infinity and beyond, you beautiful, boundless creature, to like, yo, let's fuck. You know what I mean? Those are two very different energies. Remember that Venus is in detriment. Is that the word? Yes. Detriment in Aries. The opposite sign, of course, Libra, being the sign that traditionally works better with the Venusian energy. Aries is naturally ruled by Mars. And so there is a tendency to fight, to compete for love, where, you know, you, or to assert yourself for love, where, as we know, the Venusian energy, it speaks for itself. It's not sexual, it's sensual. It's like, hey, bitch, I'm here, I'm hot, what you finna do with that? You know what I mean? Aries is like, give me attention, you know? And so, like, as someone with, like, Venus in Aries, kind of, it's very frustrating, trust me. But it's, like, having to kind of contend with that energy. But in a way, I feel like it is a very positive for the fact that it is about, you know, saying, you know, going back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, what is it that we're willing to do and what are we willing to kind of let go of in order to bring love into our lives in a way that, again, is aligned with the self and is aligned with, you know, and is very kind of heart-centered and very raw, you know what I mean? I think in a way we'll be kind of called to, like, look at that and explore that for ourselves, which is very exciting. But again, do kind of understand that there are limitations to the Venus in Aries energy that we might feel or that might kind of get in the way. Let's look at the Chandra symbol for the new moon. I'm sorry, full moon. And yeah, we had a full moon. Was that last week? Yeah, last Friday. All these okay. One thing that I've noticed. Oh, shit. It's spicy. My God. These moons happening on Friday, which is Freya's day, which is Venus day. So we're having that full moon in that full moon in Libra on the day of Venus. So definitely very much so, again, related to love. So if you do have, you know, if you don't usually do a full moon ritual, I definitely encourage you to do a full moon ritual next week. Very, very potent, full moon. And I will also check, let me just check the hour too, because there might be a particular hour in which you should do that. So for those who don't know too much about astrological magic, right, you can utilize the lord of the day, right? So each day of the week is, of course, associated with a particular planet and therefore associated with particular signs. Monday, moon, right? Tuesday, Mars. Wednesday is Mercury, I believe. Thursday, Jupiter. Friday, Venus. Saturday, Saturn. Sunday, it speaks for itself. Full moon, April 29th. Full moon. Oh, it's a pink moon. Oh, that's so cute. What the fuck does that even mean? I should probably know that, but I don't. Who cares? Anyway, it's at 29 degrees. It is opposite Uranus. That don't make no... Okay. Well, it is not by sign, but by degree. And we can even explore that a bit. So you guys can expect some very kind of radical shifts and changes and unexpected things kind of happening. I'm trying to find this paper that tells you what's the mix of the energies of particular elements are like. Is that it? Nope. I may not find it. I also might just look at an article really quickly. I'm sorry that I'm kind of all over the place. I'm an Aries, y'all. You already know what the fuck it is. Have I lost this paper? Jesus, be offense. It's fine. I'm just going to look up an article really quickly. So, yeah. So, it is opposite Uranus, which is in, what's it called? Taurus. And you there it is to remember that the purpose or what it wants or what the sudden changes or the erratic behavior because the moon is involved. It is deeply related to want the what the want is, it's freedom. What the want is enlightenment. What the want is progression. What the want is independence. For that reason, it can be expressed in ways that may not be like conducive to that actually happening, right? It's very difficult, you know, when you're in the moment and you feel something, it's very difficult sometimes to pinpoint what that need moon, where that need is coming from and what need has to be fulfilled. And with the mix of, let me look at, so Alice Sparkly Cat, so awesome, has this really amazing article on their blog where they talk about the mixtures of the, what are those things called? The elements. Let me look at fire and earth. Ooh, the picture is like a misty mountain. I love it. The sign combo is like looking at a mountain from afar. It is the horizon. There's a lot of air and there's a lot of earth. These are elements that are much more meaningful when appreciated from far away. Unlike water and fire, which can only be experienced from up close, this combo has a lot of perspective. Think of a landscape painting and why we paint it in that way. It is a scene that is about pondering big ideas. A landscape painting creates vantage, space, and time. There's a lot of room to spare in this combo. Earth and air people are not interested in laying out blank. Ooh, whoa, 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 whoa. This is intense. Earth and air people are not interested in laying out blame or bearing tight personal grudges. They're big and spacious. They're much more broad and interested in broad historical trends. When they talk about the future, they're not talking about tomorrow or even 5 years from now, but what kinds of time traveling leaps the entirety of humanity will go through based on technological advances. If you look at a mountain from a distance, you can feel secure in terms of understanding how it is built. The lay of the land gives a sense of permanence, even as the winds whip past. Earth and air people give a sense of bigness because you feel that you trust they'll be where they say they'll be, despite all that faraway pondering. In actuality, air does not move earth, but it does so through persistent motion, not spontaneous thought. Earth and air people are like the wind patterns on a stone. They have a pattern, and when they're busy trying to figure out the patterns of the large world that we live inside. Beautiful. Going back to that idea of how that relates to us being called to, again, move towards the self, move in a very heart-centered way, to choose love, right? In that way, we have to think about things from a very big picture. What is the purpose? What will allow freedom? What will allow enlightenment? What will allow independence? What will allow a more profound understanding of the world, of humanity, and what it needs, which is love, right? And so we're kind of being called to, that's a really big question, right? And it's like we're being kind of called to look at that on a personal level, right? And like looking at in our relationships some of the disputes and ways in which we're torn in terms of like, this is what I'm not willing to do within my relationship. And this is not what I, you know, I'm not going to do that. And I don't usually do, you know, and it's like, let's kind of strip the layers back and look at the why and see if that is even really something that matters in the grander scheme of things. Right. And 9 times out of 10, the answer is no. It's really interesting because I can already think about this in terms of like a particular friend that I have. And a decision they're making regarding a particular relationship that they have. And I can definitely kind of see that, again, that same element with myself as well, that same element of, well, I'm not going to do this, but it's like, okay, but in the larger scheme of things, like what is important? What's important is love. Like, are you going to choose that? Or are you going to let these, again, arbitrary structures and very limiting and controlling kind of ideas of what and how love should be expressed or what a relationship should look like. Are you going to let those things impede on you being able to have love, you know? And so being able to kind of think through that for ourselves, you know, and be very, coming into, you know, those Uranian aha moments where it's, this is the truth. To add to that, since there is that opposition that exists between Uranus and Libra, there also is a conjunction between the Sun in Aries at 29 degrees and Uranus in Taurus, which is at, I believe, either 1 or 2 degrees. I don't want to be incorrect about that. Let me double check just to be sure. It's at 1 degree. Oh, yeah, it's a very tight conjunction. There is a power that is a power and a kind of very kind of robust energy when earth and fire join one another. And again, when we're being called to go towards the self and go towards independence, and it's not even to go towards self in a very ego-centered, very earth kind of driven way. It is very much so, again, from the perspective of the higher self and what we're being called to do that is heart-centered and does not operate from ego and does not operate, again, from things that are very much so 3D world ideas of, like, about relationships and what they should and should not look like. 3D world ideas of, like, not world, three plane, whatever the fuck. Y'all understand what I'm saying about what a relationship should look like and you know. And so, again, being called to do that, even the relationship with self, if you don't resonate with this in terms of your outward relationships with people, but also, you know, the relationship with the self, the relationship with the self-esteem, and your own personal value system, and making sure that your value system ultimately is aligned with your highest self and your highest good. We also need to keep in mind that Uranus in Taurus is also answering to the planet Venus as well. Taurus is ruled by Venus. So this is a very kind of Venusian cycle that we're going through. And all of this is happening while Venus is teetering at the edge of Pisces in at 29 degrees. This is an incredibly just an intense transit that's happening at this time. Let's see, what else was I looking at? And it's happening, can you tell me what time? This is all at 7:12 a.m. Yeah. With the square to Pluto. But we already knew that. What else is in the way? Sorry, I'm like looking at the chart. It's quite fascinating. And then that will be at 7:12. Let me look at astrological hours. Let me tell you times that you should do your ritual. Oh, planetary hours. That's what they're called. So in terms of the times that you can or should, and mind you, I'm talking Eastern Standard Time. In the United States. Girl, I should have done this earlier. Y'all know I don't be planning shit, so don't be getting mad at me. Okay, let's look. Ooh, yo, this is crazy. So at the hour of the full moon, it is the ruler of the day is Venus and the ruler of the hour is Venus. Wake your ass up at 7:12 Eastern Standard Time and do your motherfucking full moon ritual. I am not playing with you hoes. I am not. Do it. Do it. It's extremely powerful. And on the opposite side, you can also do it at in the evening at the same time. So you don't. Anyway, you can also do it in the evening as well. It's 21. Yeah. And it's about an hour long. You have time. 21 is 16 is 4 o'clock. 17 is 5. I don't know. Y'all do the math. I'm not a mathematician. 14 o'clock, whatever the 14:14, I believe that is 3 o'clock, is also another hour of Venus. So four, I'm sorry, what is that? Two o'clock, yes. 2:14 to 3:19 Eastern Standard Time is also an hour of Venus. Great time for you to do your motherfucking ritual. And then 21, which I actually think is 9 o'clock. Yes, so 9:33 to 10:26. There you go. See, I figured it out. I'm sorry that you had to listen to that struggle. Let's go ahead and look at this Chandra symbol. So I guess this is all about the this is so annoying. This has became a full moon podcast episode. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't hurt to prepare. I didn't know what this episode was going to be about, to be quite honest. I was like, let me just start rambling and talking, and then the pieces just kind of fell together, which is usually what happens anyway, so I don't even know why I was stressed. Is that it? That is not the astrological mandala. Oh, An Astrological Mandala by Dane Rudyard, my Aries. Sun, Mercury, and Pisces, King. I stand. I stand. Okay. That is where I get my Chandra symbol information from. I'm going to read 30 degrees Libra, which, as you know, is 0 degrees Scorpio, if you didn't know. Cool. Ooh. Phase 210, Libra 30 degrees. Three mounds of knowledge on a philosopher's head. Ooh, y'all ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the synchronicity? You ready? The fulfillment of man's power of understanding at whatever level of existence the person operates. A true philosopher is a man who is able to understand, not merely know, the processes of life as he comes to experience them directly. He is the man of wisdom, difference indeed from the man of science. For while there must be knowledge before understanding, knowledge alone can be both barren and destructive of wisdom. This particular symbol refers to the course of course, to phrenology, which is usually considered a pseudoscience, but may provide significant indications. Number three always indicates a state of completion. The symbol implies a fulfillment of philosophical understanding, which obviously has nothing to do with academic degrees of the writing of or the writing of successful treatises on abstract concepts. The fifth stage symbol in the last of the Libra series, understanding and wisdom develop in terms of the life of community and through experience provided by interpersonal and group relationships. Cultural factors are always involved, even though true wisdom transcends cultural values and is rooted in the essential nature of man. What is at stake here is a holistic approach to knowledge based on universals. I think I channeled my message pretty well today, and I think you would probably agree as well. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to let you connect the dots, even though I feel like that summarized everything relatively perfectly. Actually, let's do something cool. Let's pull a, if I can find them, Sacred Rebel Oracle deck card. That will be the last thing that I do today. Thank you, Kayla, for sending me this beautiful deck. This deck that I could not... Oh, it is right here. I feel like two cards are missing from it, though, because I pulled two cards the other day. And it wouldn't be complete if those cards were not there. Right? Right. Where did I put them? We're not going to worry about that. We all gonna get the message y'all need to get. And of course, if you want to look at the card, it will be... Ooh. And the number on the card is, guess what? What is the number? The number is 3. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, those other cards that were missing were in the booklet, which of course was not in the box because my apartment is chaotic as fuck right now. Oh, that's another thing. I like moved everything in my apartment around because it was feeling mad stagnant. And so it's really great to walk into my apartment and be very confused about the way that it looks because I'm not used to it. Okay. 3, inspiration. I'm not going to read all of this. I'm probably going to read all of this and I'm going to read it quickly. Remember when we were talking about Uranus and sudden flashes of insight and aha moments. Okay. Anyway, an idea has captured your attention or will do so very soon. It may be a grand vision or the vague sense of something that could be. You are being encouraged to accept the vision. The idea or the inspiration as it is important to your creative and spiritual growth. Also, it is possible. The bee is bringing you healing, medicine, wisdom, from nature to aid the message of the oracle of inspiration. The bee is a powerful spirit totem. Bees are able to fly with wings that are significantly small in proportion to their heavier bodies. They can do so because of the sheer speed with which their wings move. Your idea, even if it seems like a big, substantial plan that might be difficult to get off the ground and up and running, can succeed. You will attract great helpers to you, and the earth will support the success of this project, idea, or vision, because it is about helping the greater good, as well as your own growth and development. When the Earth Mother lends you nature wisdom to support your healing and growth, you know you have an exceptionally powerful ally to your cause. Let this bring you confidence. If you have also drawn the After the Storm card, which I drew for myself a couple days ago, woo, the ghetto, consider this message amplified. Allow inspiration to fill you with enthusiasm and expectation of magic and marvelous synchronicity as people, situations, and opportunities fall into place to help you bring your inspiration into reality. This idea has the potential to flower into so much more than you realize. It has great potential. It can become something that feeds and nourishes others on their creative and personal healing paths too. It has the quality of a mission and is so much more than one singular idea. When an inspiration comes from the greater creative intelligence of the universe, even when it makes itself known as an idea coming through a human source, all that is needed to bring it into being will be available at the right time. For the human channel of the idea, it is just a matter of being open, receptive, trusting, and enthusiastic about what has come through. Everything required for each step will be naturally attracted to the support and the success of the project according to the divine timing. The healing process below will help you manifest the support needed for your inspiration to take flight.
This oracle also comes with the message that you are a vehicle for inspiration. Y'all, look. You are meant to think and do things differently. What did I say? You are capable of receiving fresh ideas that are not so out there or different that they stop being practical, helpful, and wonderful. You are being asked to avoid the trap of doubting your ideas. Your ideas are special or interesting enough. Your inspiration comes direct from the universal creative source, and you are being asked to believe and recognize the signature of great intelligence within your inspirational ideas and creative urges, and to act accordingly. To sum up, this card indicates the sweet success, like abundant honey, is coming your way through your commitment to and development of an idea that you have already had or will soon receive. See it through to the end. Believe. And it says, like, be like the animal, like the insect, which is really just corny as fuck, but it's also really cute. Anyway, there are bees all over the cards, and they're coming towards this woman's hair, which is full of flowers, and it is beautiful, and she looks a little shook and surprised. Also, I think it is worth mentioning that the page in which the card was on was page 33. So all of these threes, not only pointing to that creative force and that creative drive, and that really just that surge of both creative and sexual energy that kind of comes from Aries season, of course, and spring, of course, being a time of great fertility, but also to the Venusian element of things, right? The number that resonates with Venus, of course, is three. Creativity. We see it on the Empress card, which is the third card in the tarot deck, right? And so it just in so many ways, you guys, whether this again is related to relationships, I know for some people this is related to like your calling and the direction in which you're being kind of asked to go in, and for some people it's through a space of love, of in being in union with someone else. For others, it's being in union within yourself, being aligned with a particular career path or a path in general that you're being kind of called to go down. And although we may feel this immense amount of pressure as we are being pushed into that direction, it's okay. And we're going to be okay. And we can trust that we will make the right decisions, and we will can trust that the decisions that we are making or the insights that are kind of coming to us are divinely guided, and that we do have the our spirit guides, the God, our ancestors are all kind of cheering us on in terms of like whatever these changes that we're making. And this is not only for ourselves, but when you think about, you know, I speak a lot about it about being you doing what you need to do for the world, right? And that ripple effect that has for us all collectively when we're able to kind of step into our truth. That's the rest I'm going to say about that. Feel free to follow me on Twitter, or Instagram. You Woman You is the handle. News. I'm gonna tell this news now. I will be doing a workshop, funny and oddly enough, about Venus, and relationships and how our relationships are a mirror of our what? Self-esteem and our what? Value systems. Bam. We're going to be talking about our birth charts in depth and kind of like looking through aspects and in some instances house placement and stuff like that, and how that impacts the way that Venus shows up for ourselves and ultimately impacts how we feel about ourselves, and how that talks about how we show up in our relationships and how people show up in our relationships as well. And again, how that is a mirror of something that's kind of going on internally, and steps that we can kind of take to really kind of make those great and amazing transformations within ourselves. That really resonates and really kind of goes along with the messages of today's podcast episode in a way that has me completely shook. So I will be doing this workshop at Catharsis on the Mall, on the weekend, the first weekend of May. I'm so fucking excited. My first time going to Catharsis was last November. And it was cold, but it was fun to be up and to just be in a space full of just so much really great and amazing energy. It's kind of like the DC, very kind of small equivalent to like Burning Man. And so it will be a really dope, awesome kind of moment in which we're able to write all of the things that we want to leave behind on this giant wooden structure that will be burned towards the end of the celebration. And there's like nonstop just like, you know, partying and fun, intentional fun that's being had. And it's just amazing. If you can come to DC to like go to it, I definitely would encourage you to. It's fun, especially if you're on the East Coast. It's a weekend trip, bruh. You know, it's fun. It's exciting. I'm so excited. I will give more specifics on where the workshop will be and the time that it will be, because there are many kinds of theme camps that are throughout the area, and I'm still kind of finalizing some of those small details, but I definitely will be doing the workshop. I will likely bring the workshop into the online platform, maybe in form of a webinar or something like that, so that everyone can kind of have access to it. I'm thinking of doing a lot, kind of steering away from personal readings for a while. It has been extremely difficult to do them for some odd reason. But I'm definitely kind of feel, again, kind of called to do more kind of collective things and still be able to assist on that very personal level in a different way. All right. We're just under an hour. Thank you so much for listening and coming back to this podcast, even though I have been MIA for weeks. It was just time that I needed for myself. I'm pretty sure y'all understand that. Thank you so much for listening, and I will talk to you soon. Have a great full moon. Enjoy the rest of Aries season if you can. Again, be easy on yourself. Drink lots of water. Sleep a lot. Exercise. Get moving. That's another thing. So much of the energy that we're feeling, or the way in which we kind of feel torn and confused, is because there's so much kind of energy laying dormant within us that needs to get active. It's Aries season. It's time to move. All right. So if you aren't moving enough, move. Okay. Even if you got to move everything in your apartment, rearrange everything, just going for a walk, whatever you can do, go dancing, you know, just get your heart rate up. It's Aries season. All right. Thank you, and I hope you enjoyed this podcast.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.